Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, hour number two here on Teak and Tierney. Looking forward to doing a lot of hoops here. Some NBA basketball, which is always good by us. And, of course, we're doing our show from the Teak and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So, you know, we were looking at the chance of, you know, sitting down tonight, jumping around the channels, little college hoops. Tiki's Cavs begin their national title defense at the Carrier Dome.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of hoops to watch here. But obviously, we'd squeeze in some NBA because you have Kawhi and you have Giannis going against each other, except we don't because of load management. Before we get into that, I got to bring this up. I have to preemptively, squash something here and assign blame, all right, because I already know what's coming. Did you guys see the video of Kevin Durant shooting jump shots
today? I'm watching it right now.
Okay. At Nets practice.
Yep.
There was, I think Bleacher Report had it first. I think that's where I saw it on my timeline. Scrolling through, I watched the whole thing. It's about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably put up, I mean, I fast-forwarded after a while because it was the same repetitive motion.
He's taking the same shot.
It was like 30 shots. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot.
But it's the same shot.
It's the same exact shot. And to describe it for those who didn't yet see the video, he begins foul line extended right side. And then maybe he bumps it back, maybe 2 to 3 feet, well inside the three-point arc. Never leaves his feet. Never has any sort of extension. It engages his ruptured Achilles, which obviously is repaired and still repairing itself. Never goes airborne. It's like a couple of pump fakes, a couple of triple threat sequences with the ball, and he lets it go from 15 to 17 or 18 feet. All well and good.
Yep.
Do not complain, Kevin Durant. And do not complain, Nets, and do not complain, Kyrie Irving, when you now get bombarded for the rest of the season when he coming back. When he coming back.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. That was, unless he really is coming back, which would be great for the NBA. I'd love to see him play.
He's not coming back.
But I don't think he is either. I don't disagree with that. I don't think he's coming back this season. But that was easily avoidable. Don't take your jump shots when the media is allowed in. If you do, you are asking to get bombarded with questions about
True.
Your return to the court.
Yeah, look.
So stop crying because the questions are going to start coming.
I don't think that people will. If you know basketball, you can look at this and tell that he's not anywhere close to being ready. First of all, on about 30% of the shots, he's picking up his right foot. Mm-hmm. Like, he obviously tore his right Achilles. So he's shooting. And when he's, like, leaning into it-ish, it's his right foot's off the ground. Mm-hmm. You can tell he's not, like, comfortable
for
still
sure,
with
for
it.
For sure.
And then secondly, it's like he's in slow motion.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't look like he's ready to play. If he was, like, crossing over
doesn't
and
matter.
Shooting,
that's
then,
not the, read
then it
the
would
comments,
be. I know.
Read a bunch of,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. Even though athletically
yeah.
and physically you are 100% correct, read the comments. Because now, while that's the reality, you get the non-reality, people seeing him shoot, and by the way, like 7 or 8 or 9 in a row went swish. So now, of course, people be like, oh, Kevin Durant's coming back. And I subtweeted Bleacher Report, that is equivalent, if he was going to walk across the country by foot, that is the first step that he literally took on the pavement to get from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yeah, right.
He is nowhere near,
no.
nowhere near being ready to play. But when they start asking you, that's your fault, and now that's your problem. Because if nobody saw the video,
they have to know he's shooting, though.
They don't know if there's no evidence. I mean, that's why. Like,
you could tell them.
I understand that, but like, why would you? It's like Markelle Fultz. Why would the Sixers allow cameras last year with Philly?
Yeah, that made no sense.
When he's shooting from his hip, like an 8-year-old, or from his ear. I mean, there's certain things you don't want people to see, and you control it because the media is not allowed in there for the entire practice. They come at the end when they're winding down.
But don't
guys
you,
are shooting foul
but
shots.
Don't
That's
you,
how it goes.
But don't you think seeing Kevin Durant, like you saw Kevin Durant shooting these jump shots. You saw them. Could you
set shots?
Show. Exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't a jump shot.
No,
unless
didn't get
you
off
wanna,
the ground.
You
didn't,
count,
did
picking,
not engage the Achilles.
Picking his right foot off the ground. That's kind of a jump, but
yeah.
not really.
It's a lift shot.
Does it to you? It doesn't look like he's anywhere near ready.
Nowhere near. So, I know that, because I ruptured my Achilles.
But why would anyone think he's near ready? I'm not looking.
Because people are idiots. That's why. That's the answer.
I'm not looking at this at all and saying
he's
ready.
But you're a former athlete.
True, but.
I'm talking about, did you see Kevin Durant hitting those 17-footers? Yo, KD's coming back.
Yeah, he knocked out about 90% of them.
I know. He got a little fatigued at the end. He clanked about 8 in a row. And listen, I would love to see him come back. You know, of course, I wish he wound up going to my Knicks, but I have no hate for Kevin Durant. He's a great player. I love watching him play. His skill set is as unique as anybody mm-hmm. in the history of the game. I love him. I love watching him play basketball. He is an artist, and I want to see him play again. I want to see him become Kevin Durant again. So I'd love to see him come back, whether it's late March or April. I don't think it's really plausible. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's smart. But that's asking for a lot of questions that are unnecessary.
Agreed.
That's all I'm saying.
Agreed.
That's
now,
all I'm
the
saying.
Question, you don't hate Kevin Durant. Do you hate load management issues? And we're starting to see this with Kawhi Leonard. Again, now, Kawhi Leonard was, what did he miss, 22 games last year? He's played 70-something. He missed 60 games last year, so he missed 22 or so,
mm-hmm.
which is roughly a quarter-ish.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And six games in the season, he's missed a quarter of the season already because he's load managing already. Are you mad at this? Are we upset with this? Do you not care about this? Because I think there's one thing that this is telling us.
Okay.
The NBA season is too long, and guys don't want to play every game of the season. There's back-to-backs, the travel, everything else. They need to figure out a way so that players aren't saying, I need a day off.
No, that's great. Then shave off about 20% of your contract and you can have a shorter season.
I don't disagree with you. It's not going to happen.
I understand that. They can't have everything.
But, I mean, you're putting out a product and the guy is just is chilling and taking a day off. And what's interesting, BT, is that we're not hearing any backlash from the NBA.
We've become immune to it. We're desensitized to it now. I think from a practical point of view, given the contracts, given the importance,
mm-hmm.
given the length of the season, the laborious travel, I think
it's like Cry Me a River. You're making $20, $30 million.
Trust me, Deke,
I can't feel for him. I really can't.
I can't. I don't expect you to as a former football player.
Well, it's not even that. This is what you're paid to do, mm-hmm. right? You're an entertainer.
Yep.
And yes, I know you're trying to achieve a goal for your team and for your teammates, but you're paid this much money because thousands of people over the course of a season want to see you do what you do best.
Correct.
And when you show up and you're just like, yeah, I don't feel good today. You hurt? No,
but
I'm not
I don't
hurt.
Think it's that. It's cavalier. I think it's in conjunction with the team. So you say, I'm paying you to win.
Yeah.
And if I believe that resting you will help us win more,
I don't know.
I can't knock it,
but
man.
But here's the thing.
As much as I want to.
Are they paying them to win? Because that's the thing. It's hard. You got to parse it, right?
Okay.
Are players being paid to win? Because this clearly can't be the case because there's a lot of guys making $20-plus million who are on teams that suck,
mm-hmm.
and they're not winning consistently at all. You're paid to go entertain, right? It's simple economics. It's monetary policy or monetary issues in sports. People come in. They have money in their wallets. They want to see someone perform. They take the money out of their wallets. They give it to the team so they can watch this guy perform. And now they're getting sold a bill of goods because the guy's not showing up.
Yeah, but it's already sold.
And it's team. I know that, but I'm just thinking.
That's why they don't care.
I'm dumbing it back, right? Mm-hmm. I'm dumbing it back to the simple economics. And what's happening is the teams are saying, well, in order for us to win, a championship, then we got to deprive these paying fans of their ability to watch you play. And then the only reason half of them come is to watch you play.
But they're there, so who's the sucker? Here's why. The team wins. Number one, the ticket's bought. Number mm-hmm. two, my store's resting. Win. Next. I know it's a callous way to look at it.
It is very callous.
It's very true.
Is it sustainable? That's the other question.
Well, I haven't seen any negative backlash. Show me the decrease in attendance where people are reluctant or reticent to put their money down.
It's not because you don't know.
Well, you don't know.
But if you knew ahead of time, if we knew a week ago that Kawhi Leonard was taken off on Monday night or Tuesday night or whatever it is, and you're a ardent fan mm-hmm. and you want to see Kawhi Leonard, are you more likely to go or not? You're likely to say, you know what? I'm not getting that ticket off the secondary market. I don't want that anymore.
Well, but think about it. Is it in Milwaukee, Mike? Either way, I think it's in Milwaukee. Can you confirm that, please? I'll work on the premise that it's in L.A. Okay. First of all, once Kawhi Leonard signed with L.A., along Paul George, right? they had a surge of 75% of their season ticket base went through the roof. So their tickets already sold. If the game was in Milwaukee, and it's not, it's in L.A., if the game was in Milwaukee, the Bucks were a couple of hops away from going to the NBA Finals, if you think, and are on that trajectory again, and they have the reigning MVP. So almost every seat in the house is sold. So it's not like the allure. It's not like a carrot that I'm dangling. Mm-hmm. Well, if this guy plays, we'll sell 9,000 extra seats. They're all sold.
So, but what about those 250,000 household televisions that are not going to turn on right now?
Well, I think it's more about like...
And that's a big deal.
I don't think it's even regional. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Lakers and Clippers?
Listen,
if take two? It is a big deal.
If you're gonna
and
watch,
he's not playing?
Lakers-Bucks.
Didn't you say... Oh, that's right.
If you're going to watch the game, you're still going to watch the game.
I would be less likely to watch the game.
I hear you, but you are the minority there. I do not believe people. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
That is not true at all, BT.
I don't think people say,
he ain't playing,
untrue. I'm not watching.
Absolutely untrue.
You're either a basketball fan or you're not.
Yeah, and you're...
So you don't watch Giannis
play. And there's 16 games on, and college basketball, and other things. You got kids, you got other things that are... I want to watch Paw Patrol, right? I want to watch...
First of all, Paw Patrol's on at 9:30 in your house.
I want to watch Blippi.
Then your kids have no rules.
I want to watch Blippi on Netflix or whatever it is. Oh my God, that guy
drives me nuts a little bit. I mean, Blippi's got a pretty good empire going on. Blippi's doing all right for himself.
He started on YouTube.
I know,
like,
he did
2 years ago, and he's already on Netflix.
We know Blippi's whole path.
Like,
trust
what
me.
In the world?
We are well in tune. We like Blippi.
I'm gonna start dressing up like a clown.
Dress a little bit too much like Pee Wee Herman for my taste. I wish you would dress it down a little.
I don't disagree.
You know, but he does. Good,
sorry
good
to go
content.
On a tangent. My point is, if I knew Kawhi and Giannis were going head to head, and it was billed that way. I'm sorry, honey. I'm not even going to fight.
I'm watching the game. Fair enough. Let me get back to the core question: do we have a problem with this? Or here is my main problem. All right, if you're going to have maintenance days, because think about the NBA today versus the NBA back then. Back then, all right, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 6 MVPs, 6 championships, 6 MVPs. His last 5 years, all right, Kareem, into his early 40s, played 79, 79, 78, 80, and 74 games.
Yep.
All right, that's Kareem at the end. MJ, 6-time champ, all right, 5-time MVP, age 32, 33, 34, 82, 82, 82, retires for 3 years, okay? Comes back last season with the Wizards, plays all 82, and averages 37 minutes a game. The only reason I say this is to point this out. If you're going to take maintenance days, then you got to play hard. Because the guys back in that generation, the two I just mentioned, and there's the Malones and the Stocktons and the Birds and the Barclays and all the Dr. J, all the great players, the Ewings, the Sampsons, the Olajuwons, all every one of them. Right, every one of them, they played until their body betrayed them, and they played their asses off. Today's player plays sporadically, and they don't play hard.
Yeah, and they're,
so they're getting even more rest,
and they're making
because
more,
they don't play hard during the game,
and they're making more money.
But that I can't get into. That's just the economics of it. It is what it is.
It is what it is. But that disenfranchises a lot of the old players to the current ones. There's not a beef, but there's a. I don't know. There's just something there. You hear it when you talk to the older players.
Like the Reggie Millers and those guys. Well, listen, those are old school cats. They're used to playing 37 minutes a night and taping it up and taking a shot and playing 79, 80, 81 games a year.
Yeah, I get it. But this is back to our inbounds and out of bounds question. Yeah. Do you think basketball is less enjoyable? This is partly why I say inbounds. It is less enjoyable because you know these guys aren't playing hard. And they're worried about, I don't want to hurt myself. You're paid to go play, and if you get hurt, you get hurt. It is what it is.
I know. I don't understand why. I guess I do because I think there's too much emphasis on the weights. But how do these guys get hurt as much as they do?
I think that's
what it is. And looking the way they do.
I think that's what it is. It's lifting, but maybe not the right way.
They eat better. They train harder. Uh-huh. They play less.
Exactly.
I mean, how the hell
And they get hurt more. And they get hurt more.
And they get hurt more. They get paid more. All right. So you asked me the question. Now, listen, the NBA at a certain point in my home is on every night.
Mm-hmm.
Every night at some point, you know, whether Jen's in the shower, whether Jen falls asleep early, whether I'm in the basement for a little bit with cold, whether we're bouncing around and we go for the news and This Is Us to whatever else we have on DVR and Netflix to, hon, I got to check out 5 minutes of this. Yeah, go for it. I watch the NBA every night. And to me, my biggest gripe is the lack of passion for the integrity of the game. like, I guess by extension, not playing every night is,
yeah,
it lacks
it's,
integrity.
It's part of it. It's a piece of that.
Yeah, but I can even accept load management. I can't accept indifference to playing hard. That's my biggest gripe, and I wonder what your biggest gripe is. Is it the load management? Is it the lack of, you know, commitment to defense? You know, all the things we talk about. It's funny. We don't hear – people are now somewhat receptive to the notion because it paid off last year with Kawhi.
Yeah.
Kawhi sat 22 games. Raptors won a championship. But how do you argue with that?
But last year it felt right because he was coming off that quad issue. Whatever,
that's true.
Whatever it was.
That's
it's kind of like, okay, I get it.
That's true.
I can forgive you.
No, that's a fair point.
Now, I can't forgive
it's
you.
It's almost too just, preemptive.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, okay, it's we're preemptively anticipating a possible injury. I get you. That's fair. 1-855-212-4227. All right. They're great. They're above the rim. They shoot from half court. But are you turned off by the trend, the load management, and the indifference to defense? We'll get to that. Get some calls on this. I want to see what you think. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, we're talking load management here on Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, we'll get these calls in a sec. Time for the unexpected play brought to you by ExxonMobil. ExxonMobil's growing algae for biofuels that could one day power trucks, ships, and planes with half the greenhouse gas emissions of today's fuels. Learn more at energyfactor.com. So LeBron and Anthony Davis on the bench. The Lakers came back from an 18-point hole in the second half to beat the Bulls on the road last night. 118-112 final score. L.A. outscored Chicago 38-19 in the fourth quarter. Lakers bench stepping up. Did a nice job. As 41 total bench points, 17 from Quinn Cook and 15 from a now healthy Kyle Kuzma. The Lake Show now 6-1. On the season. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We'll get these calls. You know, again, I admit, as much as I respect his game, his corniness just gets to me. It really does. I'm talking about LeBron James. And I guess the corniness, I guess, kind of fits, but just his constant self, I don't know. He's the first Laker, right, with three straight triple-doubles in 30-plus years.
Yep.
And the Lakers put it out. And that's the Lakers' job. They have a nice picture of LeBron, nice little caption, looks pretty good. And they tweet that out after the game. Of course, he subtweets it, and he writes, "Washed King," hashtag Washed King. And then he's got one of these little, like, ooh, did he really say that emojis? And a crown. Hey, come on, man.
What does that even mean?
It means like, oh, you guys said I was done. I ain't done yet. That's what he's saying.
Nobody said he was done.
Well, no, but some people are saying he's a little washed here with the injury and the defense and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well,
yeah. That's what he's responding. Whether they said it, that's what he was responding to.
Yeah, but his defense is kind of lax.
This year, it's actually he's a little more.
It's a little bit better, but over the last couple of years,
just the fact, like, okay, so to subtweet the Lakers, like, I don't know, I don't know anymore, dude. I don't know. All right, let's get some calls. See what's happening.
By the way, Alex Caruso is one of my favorite people now.
He's got to shave his head. He's got
the fact that he does it makes him one of my favorite players. And he yoked on somebody the other day.
Yeah, he's a good athlete.
He's a really good athlete.
Get it though. You'll look 5-6 years younger. And you look more like an athlete.
But I might not recognize him then.
All right. Let's get Brad, who was in Pennsylvania. Brad's up on 590 AM. What up, Brad? How you doing today?
How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Brad.
We're good, man.
What's up?
Good. Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call. Long-time listener. Once 590 hit my radio waves, it hasn't left it. So
awesome.
I look forward to my 3 to 6 hour for
Thanks,
you guys.
Thanks, man.
Too.
Good stuff. Thank you very much.
I'll be quick here. Just wanted to give you guys a little example about your load management talk. Putting in perspective for Scranton, PA here, we have the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders. So we get a lot of the rehab starts for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, I had a table for my work at one of the games, and it was the Aaron Judge game.
Nice.
I have not seen so many kids packed in that stadium.
That's right.
Wanting to get that autograph, wanting to get a picture with them. You know, and I don't even think they said he might be out signing autographs around 5:15 prior to the start.
Mm-hmm.
People were lined up at 4:30. He didn't even make it out there before the game started.
Wow.
So the draw, I think the point, just, I mean, you guys can talk about it, but I think the point is like, yeah, if you know next weekend Aaron Judge is in town, that stadium's going to be packed.
But Brad, let me jump in for a second. I love minor league baseball, and you know I'm a Yankee fan, but it's not a perfect example because like even when Jeter would get hurt, he'd go to Trenton. I've been to a couple of minor league games at Trenton, one of their affiliates as well.
Appreciate you, Cole, Brad.
Roger Clemens is Andy Pettit. I mean, this is what they do. They go down there, they work on their craft, they get a couple of bats, they get themselves ready because they can't always do it in extended spring training. But that is so infrequent. That is so rare. I mean, no matter what, even if Kawhi sits against whomever, unless it's an Eastern Conference team, you're going to have another chance to see him again because he's going to roll back in his city.
True, but I think what he's saying is that it's not that literal example. It's just star power sells in sports. And, Brad is talking about actually going to see a star and, interact with him, potentially get an autograph, which could be valuable down the line or whatever. It's just, it's cool. It's what kids love to do. I mean, we used to love to do those things.
God,
I remember
I
when Herschel Walker came to Roanoke. I was like, dude, it's
like a sporting goods store,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. You're a bona fide, like, college star.
Yep.
He wasn't even an NFL star yet. And you just gravitate to
no
that.
No question.
And so
it's like seeing Spider-Man as a kid. It's like, oh, my heroes.
Exactly.
There's
right.
No doubt.
And it's on steroids
powerful.
Now. It's on steroids now in society because of social media. And you feel like you know these guys. Like, you really feel like you're in their inner circle, even though you're the farthest thing from it.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel like you're in tight with these guys. And so when you want to go see them play and then they don't show up, just like Aaron Judge didn't show up, there's a level
of... Well, he still goes to the arena, Kawhi.
I know,
he's still there. He can still sign something for you.
There's a level of disappointment.
Yeah, I get that.
It's not, like, significant.
I get that.
But it's there.
And I get that. And I hate to say this because this is not... This is anti-me, okay? But it's not... It's not the responsibility.
I know
it's
this.
An extension of the job, and you live this. It's not the responsibility of Kawhi Leonard or whomever to push themselves so that they can make little 9-year-old boy's dream.
But this isn't even that. They're preemptively, without any injury, agreeing to give him a day off.
Yep.
It just feels, I don't know. I'll give you a perfect example. And this happened to me, actually. So I don't think I've ever seen LeBron play.
Okay.
Right, in person. And when he was young and in Cleveland, I was working on this deal with a colleague, and we flew to Cleveland. We had to meet with executives in Cleveland, and we were going to the Cleveland Cavaliers game.
Mm-hmm.
And like the day of the game, they tell us, oh, LeBron's not playing. I'm like, I honestly didn't even want to go to the game anymore. I still went.
Was this when they were bad or they were?
They were a playoff team. They were coming, but they weren't championship, Cleveland Cavaliers.
This is like Zydrunas and Zydrowskis and that crew?
Like 08, right? So
okay.
I think it was 08. Yeah, I think it was probably 08.
Okay.
And I didn't want to go to the game.
Yeah,
you know?
Did you wind up going?
We did.
Well, who were they playing? Was there at least somebody else on the other
team? It didn't matter.
Yeah,
I just wanted to see LeBron.
I hear you.
And then they tell me, hey, LeBron's not playing. I'm like, it was like, ugh, really?
Because he heard you were coming.
No.
I'm not playing for that giant.
He didn't have no idea. But still. But you know what I mean.
I do.
He's a Cowboys fan. So
listen,
maybe.
There's nothing worse when you, and Ack knows this because he used to go to a ton of games as a kid. When I would go to Yankee Stadium and Mattingly wasn't playing, it was like the end of my world, man. I mean, when I would look up and I would see whether it was Kevin Moss or whomever was
Kevin
playing
Moss.
For, yeah, whomever, like that was when the back issue, because at
name,
one point he
yeah.
played every day. But then you just touch and go. It's like, is Donnie going to play tonight? And my dad would take me, 7-8 Yankee games a year, 7-8 Met games a year. I'd go to Equal, actually. Because Shea was quicker, even though, but he, would make sure he took me to the stadium of the team that I love, even though Shea was easier. But we'd still go to watch Daryl and Doc and those great Met teams, too. And, like, even if I went to the Shea and Doc wasn't, or Daryl wasn't, or, I mean, if Daryl wasn't playing right field, like, man, I want to see number 18.
Yeah.
I want to see Daryl hit a bomb off the big scoreboard in right center. I get it. But you can't structure your team that way. You can't. That can't be the motivation behind business. And again, I prefaced all this with, I hate saying that.
Yeah.
Because that's the anti-me. Because as a 9-year-old, my eyes were like saucers, and all I wanted to do was get near these guys. At the time, I got a towel from Bill Cartwright at the Garden. I mean, it was like, forget about it. It's like my whole world was made. It was like, I couldn't wait to put that around my neck on the bench playing CYO basketball. Like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
I get it. Trust me, I get it. But it's so big business. That it's only going to go the other way. It's not going to get better. You don't think this is going to correct itself, do you?
No.
I mean, unless they put in some sort of stipulation. And how do you do that? How do you do that where you force a player to play against the team's wishes? Like, you can't do that.
At
I don't know how you can do that.
I know. Simple way.
What?
Pay them per appearance.
Now get out of here. Pay them. What is this, like, serious? That 1980s, like, baseball card show?
One of my coaches used to
Reggie
say.
Reggie Jackson gets $30,000 for showing up.
One of my coaches used to tell us, they should pay you guys after the game. Because if you play like crap, you should get less.
That's a great theory in the 1950s.
Work.
You know, let's get
but...
current. I mean, come on. It's crazy. It is what it is. Act, the first player that you saw in person where you were like, wow.
I'd have to say Clyde.
I knew you were going to say Clyde Frazier. I know it. This was
71.
Wow. Yep. And that was right after the championship, basically.
My dad was a season ticket holder.
After the first championship. No, I knew that.
Yeah.
So he was he pretty cool? Like back the garden back then, you walk wherever you want.
The one thing I remember as a kid in the garden, the billows of smoke going from all the cigarette smoke going up to the
blue seats.
Yeah, that's where we sat.
Yeah, of course. And everybody racing for the payphones, getting, hey, give me a dime on Clyde and Willis Reed here tonight against, probably not a dime against the Celtics, but against whomever.
Yep.
All right. We got DJ Fluker. Is DJ going to show up today? DJ says he's good to go, so we're going to get him yesterday. Something came up. All good. We'll chat with him today. Seattle Seahawks. He has a new teammate, Josh Gordon. Very well might be playing with the MVP right now, Russell Wilson. So we'll switch the gears on the hoops. By the way, we know a lot of you wanted to chime in on that. Get us on Twitter. You consume the sport. You have kids. You love the game yourself. Love to, you know, we'll read them. At Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Axe update right now. Here's Rich Ackerman.
All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico.
Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. So, all right. So we're waiting on DJ Fluker. And I'm just going to put it out there right now. All right. So DJ was supposed to join us yesterday. Things got, schedules got crossed, whatever. So we said we'll do it today. And now we might have another mix-up. DJ, you got 3 minutes, buddy. If you don't call in 3 minutes, we're not doing you ever again.
We're done.
I mean, we'll do one day. That's fine.
It's a shame, too, because
I want to talk to him. They're playing the 49ers on Monday.
Of course.
I mean, it's not like it's Joe Montana. It's DJ Fluker, who I want to talk to.
But he also...
There's only so many days he's going to stand me up and come back on the show.
He's also an alum of the University of Alabama.
I know. I want to ask about Alabama. Look, I want to have a conversation with the guy. I can't actually make him pick up his phone. And the crazy thing is, 2 days in a row... Santer talked to him right before we're supposed to interview him. Yo, Fluke, let's go, man.
Hey, he's got stuff going on.
Look at that picture. How mean does he look?
He looks vicious.
Good
looks
God.
Vicious. This is why Alabama is always so good, because they get guys like that.
Look at that face.
They commit to the school.
Man. So if he calls in, now it's 2 minutes and 37 seconds within that threshold, within that time frame.
Nice.
We'll let him on. And if not, DJ's bounced for at least a month. He's got a little penalty.
I had high hopes of talking to him about Chris Carson, who's one of the surprise really good stories.
Listen,
he keeps putting the ball on the ground every now and then.
A little bit.
But
I know. I want to talk about Babar LSU, the Monday night game with the 49ers. Russell Wilson might win the MVP. He's got a new teammate, Josh Gordon. The running game, instead, he leaves his head. All right, let's get back to the calls here. Obviously, the NBA stuff was hot. Scott is in Wisconsin, and Scott is on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Scotty? How are you today?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, we are good.
Just a call in on the guys staying out for management or whatever.
Oh.
You know, my big thing is I'm in Wisconsin. I work with structures 25 plus years. I work with guys who work with broken bones. I work outside year round.
Yep.
We don't get a day off. We're not getting paid tens of millions of dollars to sit out. It's not like we get that. I just think it's a disservice to all the fans out there.
Hey,
pay for these tickets.
I got to tell you, Scott, you're hitting something that we haven't hit yet, but you're right in saying it. I'm glad we're picking up on it. Right, the average fan can't just take a day off because he feels like...
No, we've said this before.
But we're not saying it now. Like, the average fan doesn't just take a day off. And so you can't.
I know.
You might not have a job the next day. Mm-hmm. And these guys are making tons of money. And they're preemptively, and I keep going back to that word, because there's nothing wrong with Kawhi Leonard. There's no injury. There's no lingering something from last season like it was last season coming from the San Antonio Spurs. There's nothing wrong with him. This is totally preemptive. I need to keep myself healthy. But what about those you know, thousands of fans who were watching on TV and the thousands that are in the arena that paid to see you play. It's a disservice to them. You know what I mean?
I do. Scott, let me ask you a question before we hang up with you, because trust me, I did construction. I've told Tiki stories. I did construction 1 year in college, and I know what it is. You are busting your behind, man, to put food on your table. I get it. I respect it. And you are much more relatable in terms of our audience than, like, I think that most people understand how tough it is to get up and do what you do. I mean, because a lot of us have done that or do that. Having said that, do you allow a decision like this to influence on whether or not you watch the game? Are you still able to enjoy the sport?
I'm a little bit more cynical now with the way sports have gone.
Yeah.
I've watched it my whole life. I don't know if I'm going to tune into the TV. If I'm watching for one guy or a couple guys in particular, I don't know if I'm going to watch that game anymore.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. Now, you're probably a Bucks fan, Scott. Appreciate your call.
Thanks, pal.
A Bucks fan. So it's not that big of a deal to him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were a Kawhi Leonard fan, because let's not forget, a lot of fans aren't fans of teams.
Yes.
Because they don't have a
it's different.
They don't have a team necessarily that they necessarily claim. They're fans of players. And you want to see that player and he bounces on you? That's where it gets disappointing.
He just got in. We gave him 3 minutes. He made it in with two minutes and 57 seconds on the board. About 3 seconds to spare. DJ Fluker. And we got a lot to hit. Of course, he's with the Seattle Seahawks now 7-2, coming off a fun win against the Tampa Bay Bucks this past weekend. Big one Monday against the 49ers. Hey, big man, I thought this was going to be 2 days in a row. You left us hanging. We finally got you. What's going on, DJ?
Oh, not much, man. Just, just got done with a little bit of film studying.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So
okay.
Get back in groove now.
No doubt. And we're happy to make it happen. Before we get to the NFL stuff, all right, man, LSU. This is a different LSU team. They can move the ball. Joe Burrow can score points. You guys seem a little vulnerable, more so than you've been the last couple of years. You guys going to win this weekend?
I mean, yeah, of course. That's the only way to look at it, right?
I'm asking. I think LSU is going to win.
Oh, man. Well, I'll take you up on that offer then.
Yeah, I already lost a bet with Jason Sehorn. I don't need to lose another bet to a current NFL player, but it should be a fun game.
Yeah,
man.
It's going to be a great game. I'm going to be actually down there calling it, so I'm going to get to experience it.
Down there
yeah, it's
going to
be great.
Awesome.
I was at the Iron Bowl last year. I'll be down for the LSU. And, you know, DJ, when you were in school, LSU wasn't – I mean, they were competitive, but they weren't, like – challenge your guys for the SEC championship or for the college football playoff. I mean, I don't know if you have any – I can't think of your roster right now if there's any LSU alum on the Seattle Seahawks roster. But, I mean, you guys talking about this? Because it's one of the biggest games of the season.
We haven't really got around to it yet.
Yeah.
Me and Jerry Reed, we played at Bama. He was there after I left.
Yeah.
And then we got Al Woods and Ethan Posick. You know, both LSU guys, we definitely going to talk trash this week now.
Right? You better.
I'm sorry. I mean, there's no other way, you know, but we're definitely going to talk to Noah.
I love it. We're talking to DJ Fluker, by the way, first-round pick out of Alabama by the then San Diego Chargers back in 2013. He's on Seattle. They're looking good. 7 wins already. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, DJ, tell us, you know, your experience with Russell. You're a couple seasons now with him. And the knock was that the offensive line wasn't protecting him. It's doing a lot better this year, obviously. And he's on this trajectory to be an MVP with how good he's been. From your perspective, what kind of leader is he for you all? Because from the outside looking in, he's spectacular.
Yeah, he is. He's a great guy. You know, that's one. Being a leader, man, I mean, he takes things to how do I say this? He takes things very seriously. Everything's business. Being able to lead his team, you know, he's very, very encouraging. Always trying to get guys on the same level that he's on, you know, and just basically his mindset, all about winning.
Yeah.
All about being a competitor. You know, that's what makes him great. That's
yeah.
What makes him a difference maker.
No, without a doubt. Is he fun? You know what I mean? I know he's serious about his job, his profession, but is he fun? Because sometimes you need that, you know?
Oh yeah, Russ is definitely fun. He do crack jokes now. He do crack jokes. He always picking on everyone. You know, that's the thing. He kind of a little little bit of bullying, you know, a little bit, you know, yeah, pick some guys there on like every now and then. But he's a great guy, man. He always having fun, especially trying to team meeting room, cracking jokes and things up, things like that. You know, he's a real humble guy, but he will have fun now.
He is a warrior. 25 touchdowns, one pick. It's like college stats. The way he runs around and goes off script is one of the most amazing things we see weekly in the NFL. Let me ask you about one of your new teammates, Josh Gordon. Have you met him yet?
Not yet. But hopefully soon.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure tomorrow, we definitely gonna meet him.
Yeah, I would hope so because I think he's gonna play this weekend. Eventually, he's got to show up at the building. So
today's your off day, right? Because
you're playing Monday.
Correct.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so then that makes sense. And you know, I got to tell you, DJ, we know that you'd run the ball with Carson, and you guys do that well. But Metcalf, you know, we saw him at the combine. He was a physical freak, obviously, but he seems to be a better route runner, better hands, better than we thought. Like a more polished player. He's not just a physical freak. He's a hell of a football player. He's made a big difference for you so far, I think.
Yeah, he has. He's come a long way, you know, especially for his OTA this spring. You know, I know he worked with Doug Baldwin a little bit too, you know, doing drills and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Russ is a great mentor, though, so he has all the tools, you know, and I think that helps him a lot too. But Coach Carroll stays on all his rookies, make sure they know every single thing to do. And that's kind of what it's about, having great teachers, making guys understand, like, their rock concepts and making them perfect it. And he's done a great job. He made a big impact, going to get some great corners, and he made them all look crazy.
He's
a sleeper.
There's no doubt. He's fit in a lot quicker than I think we thought. That's DJ Fluker, offensive lineman, Seattle, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, DJ, you weren't with the team back in the Marshawn Lynch era, but Pete Carroll was old school like that. Run the football, pound them, play great defense. It's an old school philosophy. It's actually refreshing to watch sometimes. When you look at your offensive line makeup right now with Dwayne Brown and Ipudi and you and Ifedi, you guys have done a great job of opening the running lanes again. You know, it was that way a few years ago. Now it's coming back, and Chris Carson has turned into a little bit of a stud. Tell us about this resurgent running game that the Seattle Seahawks are deploying.
Well, we can't really take the credit just yet. It started with Mike Laura and Shotty.
Yeah.
Mike Laura, that's where it starts at. You know, I think our offensive staff has done a great job, and they're finding keys to make our team better, put us in great situations of scheme-wise, and, you know, finding what players on the offensive line can do certain things. You know, that's what it's about, building your offense around guys that will make things happen, make the ball run, and, you know, and everything like that, put us in good situations. I think that's where it starts at. Chris been balling out.
Yep.
He had a little rough start, like, in the beginning, but he got better, you know, and people on him. But like I told Chris, man, you are who you are. You know what I'm saying? Be great, you know, and he's done that.
Yeah.
He's taking strides, you know, and I think he's done a great job this year.
All right, we got about 25, 30 seconds here. As you watch the film, boom, there's D Ford. Boom, there's Armstead. Boom, there's Buckner. Boom, there's Bosa. How do you stop these 49ers, man? They're coming for you. They're pretty good.
Oh, they come for us. We come for them.
That's what I wanted to hear. Let's go. Come on.
They got something that we want. And we're trying to break that record for them.
Yeah.
Love it.
Give them a loss. Their first loss. That's our goal.
I like it. That's going to be one of the – that's probably – well, that's right there.
Yeah, but very rarely do you get the Monday night game being the best game on the schedule for the week, and you got that this week.
That's going to be awesome. Good catching up, man. DJ Fluker, first-round pick, 2013, the Chargers back in San Diego, and he's found a nice home in Seattle, 7-2. They got the Niners on Monday night. Good to hook up, man. I was going to have to ban you from the show. You kept dissing us here, but you made it happen, DJ. Thanks, buddy.
All good. Thank you, guys.
You got it, DJ. Man. All right. Seems like a nice, happy guy until, of course, you get a man. He's got a pancake.
Yeah, he's huge, man. Oh. He's a big dude.
He is a big boy.
I mean, it was one of the smart things that the Seattle Seahawks did. They went back to what made them what they won championships with. Reconfigure that offensive line, get a good runner.
Yeah.
And they have one, Chris Carson. You pair him with Russell Wilson. There's a reason that they're sitting where they are right now.
All right, let's get back to the college football playoff rankings. Got a little more specific stuff. Trevor Lawrence had a little something on Tua from Coach Saban. That's next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.